I'm Kathy Dawes-Now, along with Manhattan Deputy Fire Chief Ryan Alms. All sorts of things to talk about today, and I know it's been a while since we had you on. We appreciate you stopping by. Thought we'd go over some more recent events that occurred. You just told me when you walked in the door you had a water rescue last night. What was with that?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on, Kathy. We responded last night to the Kansas River down south of the transfer station for a report of a hunter that had a boat problem and lost power and was stranded. Our crews responded down there along with Riley County Fire Department, and thankfully the person was located safely and had made it on their own, had walked and got out of the water. So this time of the year, a couple things come up with the river. One, it's pretty low, and so people get stranded out there and it gets dark really quick. And so thankfully, it's been a slow season or year for us getting out on the Kansas River. But if anybody does decide to go out there, please use caution. It's very dark out there at night, and it's easy to get in trouble with the weather changing like it is.
And I'm sure the water is pretty cold at this point.
I'm sure. Last night, I think the temperature was in the low 30s. So definitely exposure becomes a problem quickly.
And I know we've had some that weren't so good in other Decembers, even I remember that, you know, in years past that we've worked together on and that it didn't always turn out so well. So it's something to keep in mind. Things can happen quickly.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
I guess, too, and then a fire last week that we wanted to mention, too.
Yeah, we had a fire last week on Stone Point Drive that did almost $30,000 worth of damage. There was a grill that was being operated in the garage and ended up starting the garage on fire. And so our crews quickly were able to get inside and put the fire out and limit the damage to the garage. And our crews did a really good job of extinguishing the fire, but also I wanted to mention that due to the codes that oftentimes, the building codes that are enforced, sometimes they don't get credit for when things go well. But thankfully, the garage had fire separation from the rest of the building, and so the smoke damage was really limited to the garage itself and the garage door and a little bit on the outside of the building, but very, very little in the living space. And so have a significant fire in the garage, and the people are able to stay in the building that night. That's really good win for the International Residential Code that we enforce that sometimes gets a bad rap, but does make a difference when those things happen.
And we might talk briefly about that, too, because I know there's a lot of little rules and regulations built into that. As a builder, sometimes I'm sure it's tedious. But as you just explained, there are reasons for some of those codes.
You know, and that's absolutely true. And we see it with all kinds of different things. But we had a fire in an apartment. Two weeks apart, we had two fires. One fire was in a sprinkled building, and one was in a non-sprinkled building. And in the apartment that had a fire sprinkler system, the fire was extinguished quickly, and there was water damage to the apartment. And it was still significant damage. There may have been $10,000 damage. But almost the exact same fire happened 2 weeks later in an unsprinkled building. And in that building, the occupants were displaced because they had to turn off power to half the building. I think six units were affected, $75,000 damage. And so oftentimes these things cost a lot of money up front, and they do. They get a bad rap. In terms of increasing building costs. But when we do have an emergency and they work correctly, a lot of times we don't celebrate them the way we should and let everyone know that the building code did its job.
I know several other things we could get into today. There's just a plethora of things when it comes to wintertime that people become concerned about and need to know about. Carbon monoxide is one. I don't know if you've had any calls yet on that, but that's always a worry for people out there and maybe a reminder of what we're talking about there.
Well, when it starts to get colder, those calls increase. We have carbon monoxide calls year-round. But obviously this time of year, it becomes a big issue. Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas, and the cause of it is by incomplete combustion. And so the main place that we see that is a cracked heat exchanger on a furnace. So that's why it's really important to get your furnaces checked as you get them fired up for the first time of the year, and most people have run them by now. Another cause that we see is disconnected flue on a water heater or a furnace that will allow that exhaust to go inside the building. And then vehicle exhaust in buildings is an issue. If somebody forgets to open the garage door and starts a vehicle. And then another way is unsafe heating practices. Sometimes people will get cold this time of year, run a kerosene heater inside, or they'll think it's okay to have some sort of a fire other than what would normally be contained in a fireplace and cause carbon monoxide. And if you'll remember, about 10 years ago, unfortunately, we had a double fatality right down the road here from a car being operated inside of a garage. And since then, we've had several close calls where carbon monoxide detectors actually made the difference in somebody realizing that there was carbon monoxide and getting the fire department there. Remind everybody, carbon monoxide detectors need to be installed on every level of a home and near a sleeping room so that it'll wake you up. And that's generally what happens to people who are overcome by carbon monoxide. It makes you feel very tired. You go to sleep and you don't realize it, and you never wake up. So it's very important to have those carbon monoxide detectors installed.
I appreciate you saying every floor of the home. I'm going to go ask my husband about that because I'm not sure. But, you know, that's something people may not realize. I know we have one, but you need maybe more than one is what you're saying.
Especially if you have people sleeping on both levels. That way the people on the lower level will be alerted as well.
So all good information there. And as you say, I know it used to be known as the silent killer. I guess maybe it's still known that way. But thankfully, we do have good, reliable carbon monoxide detectors. They're not very expensive, I'm guessing. You can get them most hardware places.
You can. And the plug-in kind are really nice. So you can just plug it into a wall outlet. And also right now, I've noticed a lot of the hardware stores are advertising a CO alarm and smoke detector combination. So if you have a newer system and you have a hardwired system, you can put that in the hallway, and that way you get the benefit of having a smoke detector and a CO detector together. The real benefit of doing that is when you have a hardwired system and all of your smoke detectors are interconnected, if one goes off, they all go off. Well, if you have a carbon monoxide in that system as well, then if the carbon monoxide detector goes off, it'll set off every smoke detector in the house and make sure that people get out.
Some other issues, too, this time of year that we always like to visit, of course, fireplaces, and, you know, hopefully by now they've already had everything checked out. A lot of people gone more to the gas fireplaces, which I'm sure has its own hazards, but the ones that have the good old-fashioned wood fireplaces definitely need to check out those chimneys and such, I would guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the event that something isn't right, sometimes people will notice smoke, smell inside the home, or an unusual heat somewhere, and don't call us for a while. And with fireplaces, sometimes you'll get a fire that occurs on a wall. The wood will get dried out over the years, and something won't work the way it was supposed to be installed. And so it's always important to call the fire department if you notice something like that. The other thing that is very important with fireplaces is those ashes. When you take them out, a lot of people don't realize just how long that they can stay hot. And every year we end up having a fire where somebody takes the ashes out and they put it in some sort of a combustible container, whether it be a cardboard box or a plastic container. And this may be 24 hours or more after they've had a fire. So they believe they're cool, but they're actually still hot. They leave them sit outside. It gets a little bit of a breeze on it, and it charges up, and the next thing you know, it catches the house on fire. And so we always recommend people put them in a metal container and keep the container away from the house. There's just no need to have it right up next to the home.
Let's go ahead and take a break. It is now 9:30, and again, Manhattan Deputy Fire Chief Ron Alms with us today, 537-1350. If you have questions or comments of your own, or toll-free 866-776-1350, you're listening to In Focus.